is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict, Chinese threat. They come together in remarks recently by the new foreign minister of China, the People's Republic of China, Qin Gang, as well as remarks in Ukraine and Moscow. Pulling all this together is my colleague Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President Stevens Incorporated, formerly Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, traveling between these worlds before Ukraine conflict, when there was seen as separation of ambitions and capabilities. Now we begin to look at what I can describe. Metaphors are misleading, but I'll try. A condominium of Moscow, Belarus, Tehran, Pyongyang, Beijing. Add some more minor states, and what you get is a Eurasian axis. And the question is, what part of that axis to pay attention to at any one time? Mary, a very good evening to you. I begin with remarks by the new foreign minister, who previously was the ambassador to the United States from the People's Republic. Said Mr. Qin, if the United States does not pump the brakes and continues to go down the wrong road, no number of guardrails will be able to stop the relationship from running off-road and flipping over. And it is inevitable that we will fall into conflict and confrontation. Setting aside the mixing of what you'd have to say is strange metaphors, I come to the question of what is the message here? We know that China is hard-pressed economically, militarily, spiritually, and that Xi Jinping's reign, now extended indefinitely, is a disappointment to the Chinese people. They're voting with their capital. So why now? Why Qin? Why the threat? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, the message from Beijing is very clear. The United States and your Western allies need to do what we, the Communist Party of China, want, or else. It's a bullying tactic. It's a bullying regime. They bully their own people and they try to bully us. And they will continue to do so until we show resolve and we set some red lines or even push back. And unfortunately, I think the current White House took a long time to wake up to this fact. And, you know, they still haven't fully woken up to this tactic, because you saw, for instance, outreach, continual potential outreach from Washington with no asks in return. And so I think China has taken that and said, OK, we'll push even further. And the irony, John, is, of course, this is coming at a time when Xi Jinping and his regime are quite weak. Because the three-year lockdown has decimated their economy and their local government finances. And so what you could say is that the more they wave their hands around and yell and scream, the weaker they actually are at home. And if anything, this is the time that the United States should be strong and actually has leverage. So we'll see if President Biden and Blinken and co. Start to understand that or not.
I want to press the threats, because Xi Jinping, the once and future General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, has said, this is the Washington Post reporting, to name check the U.S., talking again, metaphor, that accusing the U.S. of, quote, attempting to contain, encircle, and suppress China, calling it a challenge of unprecedented severity to our nation's development. Well, at least it has the value of being accurate. We are containing, encircling, and suppressing China, which is a predator state, threatens the neighborhood, threatens the world. And the last time I checked, Mary, they're still on the course for supremacy by 2050. So she is acknowledging something that is a fact. Why now? He could have said this when AUKUS was announced. He could have said this any time in these last years when there have been confrontations over the South China Seas. Why is he speaking now in this hostile fashion?
Well, the best kind of lie is based in fact. And of course, his comments lack context. The United States is moving to do things like restrict semiconductors exports to China in reaction to Beijing's incredibly unprovoked aggressive behavior toward its neighbors and toward us. All you have to do, John, is look at the budget announcement that came out of Beijing this week to understand just how fragile the situation is within China. I mean, what were the large items? Let's start with they're stockpiling food, up 13.6%. Their interest payments, they're going to spend 10.8% of their budget on interest payments. Other large expenditures are on internal public security, up 6.4%. And while they're doing all of these things, hoarding their resources and suppressing their people, they're spending 7.2% on, quote unquote, national defense, which is, you know, the People's Liberation Army and the People's Liberation Navy and Air Force, which is meant to, of course, further their ambitions to dominate their neighbors and ultimately us. So why are they doing this now? They're doing this because they're alarmed at their deteriorating economic situation and the social unrest that they see everywhere. They realize that the West is starting to wake up and try to contain them. And so they resort back to the bullying tactic that, by the way, John, we've seen this for years. When I saw those comments out of the current foreign minister, it recalled to me the former foreign minister, Yang Jishe, back in 2010, when he stood up in front of a ASEAN conference and he said, quote, China's a big country and you're small countries, and that's just a fact. That took many observers aback. But of course, the rhetoric out of the regime had been like that for years. They just hadn't heard it in such a public fora in front of other international observers. So this is a theme. This is a tactic. It shows weakness internally in China. And the lesson here is for the United States and other Western alliances not to indulge, not to kowtow, but to show coordinated resolve. Because this is the point in time when we have real leverage over this totalitarian regime that is building a military for global domination. That is what they are doing. That is showing aggressiveness in its behavior that we can observe towards all of its neighbors. And that is engaging in aggressive rhetoric and telling us that they want to invade Taiwan and they want to dominate us. So no opinion here. Just look at their actions, look at what they're building, and look at what they're saying. And the intent is very clear. And if you look at their budget, it's telling you that they have a lot of problems at home, and this is not the time to go weak-kneed in the West.
Mary, you were many years in Hong Kong watching the mainland very closely and traveling Eurasia for the Wall Street Journal. So I want to tell an anecdote that's puzzled me for a week now. Accidentally, I watched a movie called Midway, made in the first decade of this century. Hollywood version, big time, blue screen, lots of airplanes, featuring the geostrategic chess game between the United States Navy and the Imperial Japanese Navy, 1941-42. It struck me as spectacular only in terms of special effects, not especially gripping, until we came to a scene where two U.S. Navy aviators are down in a rubber boat after being shot down in a conflict. This is a battle between large fleets that never see each other. And they're picked up by a Japanese destroyer, leading to a scene of pure sadism on the part of the Japanese officers, something that is possible but not representative of the way the navies conducted themselves at the Battle of Midway. This was chess game. And I puzzled about it. Why this? Why out of nowhere? And then I realized it was a co-Chinese production. This is the first decade of this century, Mary. You were there. You saw this. Between that Battle of Midway movie, 2006, projecting the Japanese as villains onto Satan, and the Chinese were presented as helpmates of the Americans, the raid over Tokyo was featured, for example, and the rescue of the flyers by the Chinese partisans at great risk. We know the Japanese took huge and vicious retaliation because of the rescued flyers on the Mitchell raid. All of that has changed so dramatically, there's no metaphor. 180 is not adequate. What happened, Mary, in what is it now, 15, 17 years? You were there. You witnessed. Why?
Well, the Japanese were brutal during World War II.
Yes,
no,
yes, I agree
no
with
two
that.
Ways about that. But and it's true that the CCP has financed and backed many U.S. movies to help portray China in a softer light and to smooth over the real viciousness of the party towards its own people and again toward its neighbors. The good news is that the United States is starting to wake up, as are our friends and allies. Look, just this week, Germany announced that they were going to strip Huawei out of their systems. I couldn't believe that. I mean, Germany was just adamant when we were in office in the Trump years that they were not going to do that. Now they're doing a U-turn, I think, because they've realized the seriousness of the threat. But, you know, it's a major challenge, John. And again, I think the current administration in the White House, you know, not for bad reasons. I think they instinctively want dialogue, and that's not a bad thing. But you can't have dialogue with a regime that wants to hurt you and dominate you. And you have to stand strong. And so just as I think the administration was kind of mugged by reality in Ukraine, where they thought they could talk to Putin and stop him from his advances on his neighbor, I think they're getting mugged by reality by Beijing.
And therefore, what we now witness is a separation of these two global powers that is profound. Is that the version? Is that where we are, Mary? This is a profound change in the road.
Well, it's not because we want to separate. We are reacting to their behavior. And China itself says, we want to decouple from you. And we need to focus more on what they are saying and doing, rather than this strategic narcissism where we only talk about what the United States does and what the United States wants. China has been very clear. They have built the Belt and Road to create a different economic zone. They are trying to build up their domestic consumption and domestic manufacturing capability so they can kick us out. Look at what they just did to our auditing firms. They said, essentially, take a hike. You know, they're going to do that in other industries as they feel capable of doing so. So, you know, we need to acknowledge the reality as it is. And we have a wonderful relationship with the Chinese people, our Chinese American community. They're wonderful, wonderful citizens. And the people of mainland China and Hong Kong and Macau don't deserve to live under a regime like this. Our beef is with the party that rules them. And we have to face up to the ways in which they threaten us, and we need to come up with a strategy to thwart them. And this is just, I fear, we have entered a very dangerous phase in history, and I'm worried about the upcoming meeting between Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin, because I think the only time that these two can really feel confident that they can plot together is when they're in person. And you saw a significant change in behavior of Vladimir Putin after he met Xi in Beijing prior to the invasion of Ukraine. And I fear that we'll see another inflection point after this upcoming meeting, too.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. She mentions Putin. We're headed to Ukraine conflict. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.